welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, you see, it's water baptism today, and I just want to share a few words on it before we go further and have the candidates that are here. There's three or four, I'm not sure, who were to go through, but for one reason or another, sickness or otherwise, they're not able to go through, but there are those that are going through. This morning we've been singing a lot about the fact that He's alive. Jesus is alive. This exists because of that reality. Jesus is alive. You know, there was a preacher that used to, in Belfast, stand on the custom steps to preach the gospel. And to get a crowd, what he would do would he would put his Bible on the ground there, and he would take his hat off. This was in the time when men mostly wore hats. And he would take his hat off and he would put it over his Bible, and then he would stand away this distance trying to get the attention of people passing by, and he would say, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" And slowly the people would start to gather around him. And then one looking to see what's alive. And then he would take his hat off it and he'd hold this up and he'd say, "This book is alive. Hallelujah." Of course it's alive. The person of the book. The grave couldn't hold him. That was the verification of the fact that everything in this book is true and will never fail, but will always fulfill what it says. Hallelujah. God says in Isaiah, he says that he has sent his word and it will never return to him void, but it will always accomplish that whereunto he has sent it. In other words, whatever he has said, if you believe it, it's yours to receive. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? My Lord, I feel like I might want to preach. I want to welcome you this morning, and those of you that are visitors, great to have you with us. If you are a visitor, and bless you. Bless you. If I can embarrass somebody, but you can't embarrass brethren people. Sister here, she came in with part of the family. Yeah? And so I was able to assure her that they're real good people, because I belong to the brethren for a lot of... I still belong to the brethren. But I went to the Brethren Assembly for many years, and Hillary and I, wonderful time. And I've had the privilege of going back years ago now and ministering in those places. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful that Christians can gather together knowing that we are family. There's nothing that divides us. Nothing. That's one of the things that makes the Christian community, the Church of Jesus Christ, different to the world. We are one. We are one with each other in Christ. And we are in Christ, and the Bible says Christ is in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Well, water baptism. Well, this morning I want to talk about water baptism and its importance. I want to turn you to a passage of Scripture, I think, first. We need to hear what God says about this. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn you to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, of course, follows directly after Acts chapter 1. But what's significant about Acts chapter 2 is that Acts chapter 2 opens us up with the disciples obeying, honoring, responding to the word of the Lord to them to tarry at Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And we find here in the opening verses of Acts chapter 2 that 144 responded. Let me just say in passing for us Christians, 144 responded to the word of Jesus Christ to them. And you can find that, his word to them, in fact, in the first chapter of Romans. You can find it in the Gospels. But 144 turned up and gathered together in the upper room in response to the word of the Lord. Now, we know already, because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, there were over 500 disciples, and he would have spoken to all of them. 144 responded. Churches, we're born again. We need all to line up with whatever God says, be glad to do it, and follow hard after him. Anyway, when they responded to the word of the Lord in Acts chapter 2, we find out that that's when the day of Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit was poured out. The church, the early church was birthed there, right there. The early church was birthed. And like the church of today, you hear me say, is the vanguard church. The body of Christ I'm talking about in our land is the vanguard church, the end time church. And no one's been there before. Jesus has never come back the way he's going to come back this time. And we are the vanguard church throughout the land that has been given the task of preparing the people and preparing ourselves for his coming. And being the vanguard church, no, we don't know how to do it. We have to get hold of this word. We have to diligently seek it. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to function and not be religious, but be led by this word of God. In the same way, the early church in Acts chapter 2 that honored God, honored Jesus Christ, went to the upper room and were gathered together there, they were the first church. They were the early church. No one had ever done it before. And so they had to start off like we are trying to, in this age, be effective as the church to honor God in a land that's dying through sin. But they had no instruction either, except, as we do, this word of God. And so they were able, because they obeyed the word. They were obeyed the word and put it into action. And you can read it for yourself. Carry on reading through Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, and see how the believers began to get into line with the word of God. And didn't just say, it's an option. It's an option. It's not an option if Christ is in you. Christ is in you. You're born again of the Spirit of God. You're a new creation. You're not who you were. You are somebody totally different. Praise God. The Bible says all things have passed away and all things have become new. And so what we're reading and what I'm going to read in a moment is relative to this chapter where the church has just been birthed. And there's a lot of questions with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and I'm going to take you to verse 29. Could we put that up there? And I'm reading from verse 29 of Acts 2 from the New King James Version. Men and brethren, let me speak. By the way, this is Peter who stood up because of the criticisms of the people saying that these men are drunk with new wine and so on. And in verse 29, he says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who came down through the lineage of David. Verse 31, he foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul, the soul of Jesus, was not left in Hades or hell, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, that's Jesus, poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Verse 35 is David speaking of his Father who is God, speaking to Jesus Christ and telling him that he's going to make his enemies his footstool. Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. And by the way, when he's talking about you crucified, he's talking to all the people that don't believe that he was God's son. He's talking to everybody that refuses to accept that he's God and the Son of God. Some of these people, I can't go into all of that now, but backed off and says, I haven't crucified him. Yeah. He had to be crucified because of those of us and because all of us needed a Savior, but to receive him, we had to believe him. We had to believe he was God. We had to believe he was the Son of God. They had to believe that he came to forgive us our sins. And they didn't do that. And the Bible says, because of that, he had to go to the cross and you crucified him. They didn't like that too much. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. At least it touched their hearts. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, listen to this, men and brethren, what shall we do? I think these guys accepted the truth. They accepted the truth right there and then that God was God and Jesus Christ was his Son. And when they heard what Peter said, they were pricked in their hearts. I remember the time when I got saved. Some of you will know and hear my testimony. I was given a little booklet to read. I didn't read it for a period of time. I'd promised to. I was in my car one day, remembered that I had promised to read this little booklet, and I was waiting for an appointment and started to read it. When I read it, I saw the scriptures, and I saw the scriptures that told me that I was dead in my trespass and in sin, and the punishment or the guilt of sin is eternal damnation. I couldn't accept that, just like they were struggling. I couldn't accept that because what have I done wrong? I've done nothing wrong, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the salary, the wages, the return for that is death, eternal death. And like these, that was me. I think we all must go through the same process if we turn to Christ and say, you know, how can this be? And that's so important, because for that to happen and for us to come to Christ, we have to get rid of that and place something else into a higher place of priority, and that is, in spite of what I feel or think, I believe this, and choose to believe what he says is true, not what I think about myself or anyone else thinks about me. It matters what he thinks about me. Verse 38, then in response to what shall we do, Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord your God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Praise the Lord. This tank is full of water. Oh, it's freezing. It's freezing. I'm sorry if you are going through those waters of baptism. It's freezing. My Lord. This, I don't know where this camp comes from. It just hits me every now and then and makes me behave in a naughty way. But anyway, this baptism in water is a very, very important thing to be part of and to understand. It is important for several reasons. One reason it's important is because being baptized in water, whether it's in this tank or whether it's in the sea, we used to baptize them in Bangor Bay, and then we used to baptize them in Strickland's, and then we got proper. Out with the bond woman and the son. Out with it. Let's go back to the sea. That was cold. Water baptism is important. as I said, for several reasons. For one of those reasons is simply this. Water baptism is symbolic of something that really happened. That's what it is. That's the first reason it's important. Water baptism is symbolic of something that really happened, and that something was that Christ Jesus was born a man like I or any other a human being. He left his deity in heaven. When he walked this earth, he walked just like you and I do, with a belief in his God and Father, but without any divine attributes. He was left to be our example. We can look at whatever Jesus did and know this, that if we are born again in God through Christ, we also can do it. He, the Bible says repeatedly, is our example. Not only how to walk in righteousness, not only how to walk in love and peace and joy, but in many other areas. And Jesus Christ is still our example today. But he came to this earth. We've read that men crucified him. They put him on a... Crucifixion was by putting them on a stake. They laid the stake out in the ground. They nailed or tied the guilty person, in their opinion, to it, staked it on the ground, standing upright, and left them to die. The objective of crucifixion was not just punishment, was death. It was death. And so Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us and confirms the fact that Jesus Christ was put to death. His physical body, a man like I, lost its ability to function, spirit went out of him, and he was buried. But praise God, as he had predicted, as he had said, after 3 days, I will rise again. Hallelujah. 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 We need to get a grasp of that. They weren't just some words we should hear. When he made that statement, he was saying this, from now on, nothing shall ever be impossible to you. Hallelujah. 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 And the Bible says they put him in the grave, but the third day, listen to this, you have never heard of it before, you never will see it again. The third day, this physical man, this dead physical man, imagine it was me, rose again. Praise God. Oh, you put that in your pipe and smoke it. I mean, dwell on that. Think about that. Sometimes we can get too religious with our thinking. But the reality is, Jesus, that a man was buried, and yet he rose again. Praise God. Life came back into his physical body. That was the life of God that came back. And we know from after that, he then ascended. He left this planet. Look at Acts chapter 1. And they saw him go into heaven. But he says, I am coming back in like manner that you have seen me go. And let me tell you, church, and everyone here, whether you are born again or not, Jesus Christ is coming back. And it's very shortly. Hallelujah. One of these days, or weeks, or months, you're going to see John Nabby taking off at a rate that you would hardly be able to keep up with him with your gaze. Praise God. I'm going home. I believe in it. Jesus Christ is coming back in like manner. So Jesus Christ, he was alive, he died, and he was buried. And he rose again the third day. Water baptism speaks exactly that. Exactly that. So, let me give you another reason why it's important. Second reason why it's important is because of what Peter said. Look at this. Because there's an awesome promise that has been given when we walk through the waters of baptism. Let me turn you to verse 30, well, I'm going to go to bracket two together, verse 37 and verse 38. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here's someone that's not right with God and ask him, what must I do to get right with God? The next verse, in verse 38, Peter, servant of God, stood up and said to them, repent. That means change the direction in which you're going. It means if you're going this way and you're in charge of your own life and you're doing what you ever want to do and feel you have the freedom to do with whatever you want to do with this body that God gave you and this God-given life that God gave you, God says if you want to change, he says, repent. That means turn around. Instead of carrying on the way you've been going, start going this way towards God and saying, Lord, I need you. Direct my steps. Show me how to function. Show me how to live the way you purposed for me to live. Bible says that Peter said to them, repent. Listen to the promise. He says, repent in verse 38, and let every one of you that's turned around, repented, what? Be baptized. Be baptized. We'll talk about that a bit more in a moment. Be baptized, and the rest of the apostles, sorry, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to minimize it, but let me just say the gift of the Holy Spirit is what takes place when a person gets born again. The Spirit of God comes into our lives and he seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what we receive. You don't feel it particularly. You have it. You have it by faith. It starts to change your life. As you start to walk according to this word, you will find that that indwelling person of the Holy Spirit starts to do these things through you and for you, which without you couldn't do it. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And so, here, Peter has gone on and made the promise that I've just read, that every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive. What a promise. What a promise. What are you saying? What's he saying? Repent. Turn around. And then the next thing is, go and get baptized in water. You see, salvation is an inward experience. It's something that takes place in your heart. You become alive by the Spirit of God. Water baptism is an outward expression or an outward testimony of something that's taken place inside of you. So it's an external expression of an internal experience. So because you've experienced God in your, having Christ in your heart, this water baptism is the affirmation externally, not just for everybody else to see, and that's important, but more important for you and me to walk this way and go through the waters of baptism. What doing? Identifying the very three things that took place in the life of Jesus. He lived, he died, and he was buried, and then he rose again. Well, what this epitomizes for you and I that are born again, that when we go into those waters of baptism, we go in there as we are today. When we go down under those waters of baptism, we are dying, but we're dying with Christ. John Nabby, if it was happening for me today, by the way, I was baptized in the Brethren. If this was happening to me today, I would go in that water. When I went down and into those waters, what would be happening to me is my old man, I was burying my old ways. I was burying my old ambitions that were left God aside from me. And I was going down into the waters. I was being buried just like Jesus was. But I was being buried and something was happening. It was a testimony of the fact that I was no longer who I used to be. But now, because Christ was in my life, I was a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. A new creation. And then, with the help of a couple of guys, you lift it up out of the waters. And you've come out a new list of life. You are epitomizing exactly what happened to Jesus. Your testimony is, I was dead in my trespass and in sin. But I died to my trespass and my sin. And I came up a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How is all that able? How can all that take place? Because when Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, when he was buried, he at the cross had all our sins nailed to that cross, and he bore them. He carried the sin of the world. He carried your sin and mine, your guilt and your shame, all the things that you've done, don't want anyone to know. He buried it all. Hallelujah. When he went and they buried him, he took with him all the guilt and sin of mankind, and it was buried. Glory to God. When he rose up again, he rose up a new creation. Son of God. And the Bible says, of course, he went to heaven's glory. So water baptism has an awesome promise to us. If you repent, change your direction. This is the outward evidence to mankind and before God that I am a follower of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul was making this statement. I am crucified. I am now dead. John Nabby is dead. I am crucified. You're going to find a new person here today. And if you're getting saved, and you are saved, or you're saved, you get saved here today. If you're not saved, you are saying, I am crucified. My old man is dead. I am a new creation today. Praise the Lord. I am somebody who I wasn't. And when that happened, the power of God comes upon our lives and gives us the ability to be clean. You may not feel it. That's not the issue. We walk by faith in God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That means he's dead. Nevertheless, I live. Galatians 2:20. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. Not I, but Christ lives in me. For the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'm crucified. John Nabby says, I'm crucified. Every born-again believer here today should be able to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The amazing things. But I'm a new creation. You didn't need to change the outward. I was handsome enough anyway. It's naughty. But I hope I've got your attention. It's what happened inside me. It's what happened inside of me. I was dead in my trespass and in my sin. Hallelujah. I was on my own. But praise God, because the spirit in me was a dead spirit. You've heard me say, I used to wander around saying, how can this be? The Bible says I am dead in my trespass and in sin. And I couldn't work that out because I was walking around. How could I be dead and walking around and be dead in my trespass and in sin? There's got to be a problem. He wasn't talking about this body. This isn't you. This isn't me. The Bible says, I am a spirit. I have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And I live in a body. This body only responds to the real me or the real you. And the real you is a spirit. If your spirit is dead, this body of yours is blind, has no way of getting direction, guesses, hopes, wishes all the while, never sure of the way it's going. But when your spirit man comes alive, when you're born again, when you ask Christ into your heart as your Savior, He has paid the price for all your lacking, all your guilt, all your shame, all your failing. He has paid the price and he took it to the grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My sin is in a grave. Praise God. And I'm a new creation today. By faith, through the word, my God's not a man who would lie. So the waters of baptism are inviting and an awesome promise to those that change their mind and turn away from where they are. I'm going to hand over to those who are going to do the baptism. Before I do, can I ask every believer, can I see who's born again here? Raise your hands real high. Praise God. I hope you've all been baptized in water, but that's between you and God. If you're here this morning and you didn't raise your hand, that has to tell me that, and by the way, I really couldn't tell you who didn't raise their hand. I want to say that tells me that you haven't got Christ in your life. That tells me, according to this word, as Peter says, you're dead in trespass and in sin. And I want to ask you, first of all, what ails you when somebody else has paid the price for your guilt and your shame? What ails for you? You know, I think in the fourth book of chapter of Acts, you'll read about Philip, who met a eunuch on the road. He was the queen's chancellor, and he was reading the scriptures, and he couldn't understand what the scriptures was talking about. And Philip hopped up with him, and shared with him, and told him about the gospel. And when the man heard the gospel from his own Bible, as it were, he said, "Well, can I not give my life to God?" And so he led him to the Lord. So, if you are not saved this morning here, and you God has spoken to your heart, and you're aware that you need a Savior, you can give your life to the Lord right where you sit. You can ask me right now. Can I come and talk to you for a minute? And before you go, this is the truth. You can go through those waters of baptism. You can jump in with the clothes you've got on, and we'll dry you out as much as we can, and as quickly as we can, drive you home. But I'm telling you the truth. That's what the Word teaches. That's what the Word teaches. You can go through the waters of baptism, and you can receive the two awesome promises that God's given to us. Father, we thank you today for the reality of your great love for us. We receive it today. We thank you for it. We're empowered by it. Father, we ask that none would perish, but all would come to a knowledge of Christ. We thank you for those who are walking through the waters of baptism this morning in newness of life. And we honor you and thank you so much for your great love for us. Hallelujah. For you so loved this world that whosoever would believe in you would never perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Am I handing over to David?
Yes. Isn't it so exciting? It's wonderful to be part of any baptismal service or any service where people are giving their lives to the Lord. It's so exciting. And as pastors has clearly explained, this is the acceptable time and day for salvation. The Bible says in John chapter 4, he talks about the fields are already white. Isn't that right? It's not something that I have to work to. You don't have to become something first in order to give yourself your life to the Lord. You don't have to jump through some hoops. You know, you could be a very good living person today, probably wondering, am I in need of salvation? Or you could be someone who is a perpetrator of justice and hurting people. There's no difference. Today, God's grace and His blood is sufficient to cover all sin. All your sin is covered this morning. It's eradicated when you choose to receive the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have to jump through any hoops. Isn't that wonderful? Today is the acceptable day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we've come to this exciting part of our service today. And I'm going to invite, there's four people going through the waters of baptism. And I'm going to ask them just to come out to the front for a little second. All of them that can come out and stand next to me. I won't bite you. And we'll move this pulpit just so that everyone, there's nothing to hide behind. Isn't this wonderful? Well, that's a perfect order, eh? I wonder, should we be even in hide order or something, eh? Seth, did you want to go third or you want to go second? He's going first. Well, look, before we go over to the tank, we just want to bring you before the congregation. It's exciting. This is a wonderful time. And it's an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for us to hear from you. And it's an opportunity for you to share anything that's on your heart concerning baptism and what has brought you to this place today, just even in a couple of minutes. Who wants to go first? Will we start with Seth? That's brilliant. Seth, what age are you, Seth? Let me just start by asking you a couple of questions.
Eight.
Here, you take that mic. You're eight. My goodness, I think you must be the youngest eight-year-old to have been baptized in this church. No, we've had nobody eight, so that's fantastic. You know, there's no restriction in Scripture that I can see where a child can't be saved and a child can't go through the waters of baptism. It's not an everyday thing that we put children through for other reasons. We like to apply a bit of wisdom there, have the parents' support and the family support. But there is no restriction. There is no big no-no about children coming and being baptized. So it's great. It's great to see you, Seth. And it's our privilege to put you through the waters today. I'll be careful with you. Don't worry. Can you swim? All right. Well, Seth, just before we go any further, tell us a wee bit about yourself and why you're here today. Why do you want to stand here, and why do you want to go through the waters today, the baptism?
So that I can be seen as one of God's people.
Amen. I think that deserves a clap. Okay. So basically, Seth, what you're saying is today you belong to Jesus. Right, you know you belong to Jesus, and you want to show everybody here and anyone else out there that you belong to Jesus. Isn't that right? Fantastic, fantastic. Well, pass your microphone there along to Philemon. Philemon, it's been great getting to know you over the last few months, and every week we're just getting to know and find out a little bit more about you, and it's just a pleasure getting to know you, Philemon. Here, there's a man of real potential. Real ministry on this man. There's an anointing on him, and I believe we're going to see a lot more and hear a lot more of Philemon as we just continue to fellowship with you and get to know you, Philemon. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. Maybe some of us don't know you that well, so just go ahead.
I'm Philemon Bwedi from Ghana, and I've lived here for 5 years. I had an infant baptism, and by then I knew nothing. And became a Christian. I went to Sunday school, became a Sunday school teacher for 12 years, and got my spiritual gift, praying in tongues and everything, going out for evangelism. But then each time I pray, the Holy Spirit keep reminding me of getting baptized, because having all this gift, I'm still incomplete. So if I'm here today, it's just to say thank you, God, for keeping me alive, because I never thought I could be alive and live today to witness this. And it's really unfortunate. Both parents are late and they are not here to witness, but I have a great family here, which is all of you. So thank you a lot, and I'm very blessed to be here.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name's Joanne. I had an infant baptism, and I used to go to Presbyterian church, and it was really the last sort of few years that I started to really come back to God again. And I had battled alcoholism and depression, and finding him sort of helped me get through things like that. So I got saved last year. Amen. And this is declaration then of the future.
Amen. Go ahead.
I'm Heather, and I've been a Christian since I was 15, but when I had the opportunity for the baptism today, the one thing that had always held me back was my absolute fear of water that has actually crippled me for all my life. So after 46 Amen. Years today, I am going to break that chain. Amen. Once and for all. And also then, when I had that fear, I was thinking about it again this morning, and then God reminded me that it was actually this date 6 years ago, the 11th of June 2011, that I had a stroke. And it's through God's love for me that gave me the strength, the courage, and the determination to get myself fully well again. Mm. And this today is my chance to say thank you, God.
Amen.
And I am recommitting my life to Him for the rest of my life.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's just a wonderful testimony from all four of you. All four completely unique people. All four completely different backgrounds. From a nature old who's just breaking into life, right through to these three adults. Philemon from Ghana, who's expressed his own concern or his own amazement that he's even here alive today. Only God knows, and Philemon knows what that represents. And even coming to Heather, where, you know, there's been real heartache and pain and a brokenness in her life, and to be totally restored, amen, is worthy of another blessing to the Lord. Let's clap the Lord. This is a miracle. Totally restored before the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to go over to the tank. Just as they're getting ready to get into the tank, yeah, just going over. Seth, you're going to be first, are you? We'll keep it in this order then.
Great to have an 8-year-old going through. Yeah, it reminds me of when I was this age going through. I was about his age when I went through, but it's amazing, isn't it? And this is a change of life for you. Look at this, there's a smile on this one. I was down the back, just every time you said his name, his face just lit up, isn't it? Yeah? All right. Put your hand up. Seth Hamilton, on the confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you have your hands together? Joanne Brown, on the confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
What another mighty man, as we've heard. If you've never had the privilege of hearing Philemon pray, I trust you. Trust me, it is a treat. He is an articulate, fantastic man, and hearing his testimony is a privilege to be part of this with you, Philemon. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Philemon Bodie, according to your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Amen. So we have a very brave, brave lady here. And it's Heather. So praise God for breakthrough and for just this public testimony. Heather Benson, according to your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, isn't that wonderful? So exciting. And what a privilege it is to witness lives being changed forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.